All right, thanks for making it fair, Pastor Randall. Amazing. Well, welcome to the house of God, everyone. Ready for the Word of God? Ready to be fed with the Word of God? This sermon is going to be so good because it's from the Word of God, not because I'm preaching. But before we actually talk about Luke chapter 9, there are a couple of things I want to talk to you about first. So first thing first, if you have not heard last Sunday's sermon, you got to go and listen. I mean, it is really one of the best sermon Pastor Randall has preached, and I really want to welcome you and encourage you to listen to last week's sermon, because last week's sermon is really about worship. So good to see you, LeBron, bro. Love you, man. And you got to listen to that sermon. So last Sunday, if you have not listened to Pastor Randall's sermon, please do that. Now, so before I preach Luke chapter 9, I've got a short announcement that I have to make to this family. So many of you know that for a season of time, we've been praying, we've been discerning, we even put out a church survey in terms of what the future of the church would look like. So we were praying, we were discerning, we did a survey, and then last Sunday, a church community came, we had lunch, and then we had a wonderful time of discussion about where we want to go from here. So I'm just going to spend a couple of minutes to share with you about where we think the Lord is leading us as a house of God. Is that cool? Yeah, not much of a choice. I'm just going to do it anyway. All right, so what we have heard. So we did a survey. 113 of you have filled out the survey, which is amazing participation, both on the English and the Mandarin service. So our church, we are a family church. Everyone say family church. So we are not just a youth church. We're not just a young adult church, we are family church, intergenerational. So people that have filled out the surveys are so in that demographics. And then from there, out of that, 68% of people who fill in the survey, you are serving. 70% you're in small group. All right, I'm going to just talk about small group really quick one. If you are not in a small group, you must be in a small group. Do you know why? All the goodness and the blessing of God, when it comes to the family of God, you can only truly, fully experience when in a small group. It's great you can come on Sunday like this. It's great we can sing. Sometimes the Pentecostal call the corporate anointing and the corporate worship. It's great, right? We have people worship together. But there is nothing like journey with a small group of people. So yesterday, Jonah, you know, our small group, Dolly, we met. Our small group is like international small group. We're like 8 national. So we had an international buffet. So we had a spread from India, we have a spread from Tanzania, but anyway, look, I'm getting hungry, so let's not talk about food. You need to be in a small group. Can I get an amen for that? All right, may the Lord speak to you. And 25% of you that fill in the survey actually are in the leadership role. So what have we found? We found heaps of stuff, so we're not going to go through the whole thing, so I'm just going to share with you this thing. Overwhelmingly, all of us say we want a permanent home. We want a permanent home. And second thing you say is that we want to have fewer venues, but we want our kids to be together. Now, for those of you who are new, you might be thinking, what do you mean fewer venues? So on right here, right now, as we conduct ourselves in English service, we have a total of 3 venues concurrently. So we have the English service here, and then we have our Mandarin service in the Click building, and then we have a whole other building just for our children. That tells you how important our children is to us. I'm not going to tell you about the journey, how the Lord has provided for us each step of the way, but I can tell you this. Every single step of the way, the Lord has provided for us. Like this space here, the Lord has provided. The Hope Center, the Lord has given to us for the children, the Lord has provided for us. But now, as a family, as we chit-chat, as we discuss, we felt that in this season, perhaps it'll be good if we can consolidate from 3 venues to 2 venues. Because what we have heard overwhelmingly is, number one, this is a spiritual body of Christ. It's not about the venue. It's about relationship. It's about family. It's about togetherness. So, after last week's church family gathering, the board and the pastoral team met together. We deliberated. We discussed. We prayed. And then we have come to a conclusion. So, we have made 2 important decisions. Yeah, so I thought I'll just inform you of the decision. The first decision that we made, which we feel is the sense of where the Lord is leading us, and also where the sense of the people are sensing, is that we're going to consolidate from 3 venues to 2 venues. Faith, Hope Center, and our Click building. So that's our first decision. And because of that, we will form what we call a working group. The working group is called Journey to Hope. It is not an AA group. Hope Center, so Journey to Hope. So we're going to have a little working group to transit our English service to the Hope Center. So the next question you ask me is, when? Now, we hope, all right, we aspire, a proposed timeline. You see, I'm putting a lot of disclaimer there, yeah? Is by the 7th of September, we hope that we can move there. Yeah, by 7th of September. Now, please pray for us, because I'm in discussion with the Hope Center people. So, in principle, they have agreed for us to go there. So right now, we're just trying to, you know, tighten, dot the I's, cross the T's. So please pray. Now, I also hope, because on the 16th of August, Fed Uni is going to have an open day. And we are going to Hope Center anyway. So my thinking is this. But this is my thinking, all right? This is not the leader's thinking. This is not the group thinking. This is my thinking, all right? It's that since we moved there on the 16th of August, why not? We continue there. Just 2 weeks difference. Now, having said that, of course, there are some logistical challenges and stuff like that. So it's plus minus 7th of September. So that's the first decision. The second decision that we make is that we're going to form also a little group, a small group to discover, to scout for us a permanent home. All right? It's going to be led by our Captain Joe. So please pray as we pray and discern where the Lord is leading us. But there is one thing that I want to share with all of you. It is never about the building. Can I get an amen for that? We are first and foremost the body of Christ. Who is the head? Who is the head? Well done. Jesus Christ is the head. Not the pastors, not the leaders. Jesus is the head. If you ask me to choose a body part, most likely I'm the pinky finger, all right? Like this, all right? So I'm not sure what's your body part. But the Lord is leading us, amen? We shall walk by faith and not by sight. So let us pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you. We thank you that you are leading us. We thank you that you are the chief shepherd of this church. We thank you that you are the head of the church. We thank you that you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So we want to come under your lordship. We want to come under your authority, under your kingship to say, Lord God, lead us wherever you are going. Father, we thank you that you have given us the great commission to go and make disciples of all nations, O God. Father, we thank you. You did not set up a holy club for us to feel comfortable, for us to just feel all nice and warm and fuzzy inside. No, oh Lord God, you have called us together in your name to do your mission. And you have given us a mandate, oh Lord God, to go and make disciples. So God, we say to you, in our own strength, we can't. We have no ability, we have no power. But in the name of Jesus Christ, with the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, we can do greater things than what Christ has done. Have mercy on your people. Pour out your spirit like never before, Lord God. We thank you. In Christ's most precious and holy name we pray and ask. Amen and amen. All right, so let's go to the Word of God, Luke chapter 9, verse 1 to 6. Now, I thought it would be good for us to have like a journey, like an arch, where we've been and where we are going. Today is going to be the last sermon in the Gospel of Luke. We're going to pause for around 9 weeks. Then we go on a topical sermons. Like next week, I'm going to talk about AI. We're going to talk about missions. We're going to talk about discipleship. We're going to pause for around 9 weeks. And then after that, we then continue on with the Gospel of Luke series. So where have we been so far? Now, basically, the first 9 chapters... first 8 chapters of the Gospel of Luke, we talk about the birth of Christ. We talk about how Christ's miraculous birth and how Christ has also called 12 disciples. And these 12 disciples, they are not powerful men.
If not, if we learn from anything about Simon Peter, when Jesus called Simon Peter, he was a man who is right at the end of the road. Remember that sermon? He caught no fish. They toil and labor the whole night. He has nothing. He has nothing to bring back home. He was thinking that tonight, if I were to go home, my wife is going to yell at me. Where is the fish? Why aren't you feeding the family? So that is right at the back of Simon Peter. But it was at that very moment, at his lowest point of life, Jesus called Simon. And what did the scripture record? At that moment, Luke changed his name from Simon to Peter. Because when God calls you with a destiny and a purpose. A fisherman who has no fish, Jesus says, tonight, you follow me, you will start to catch men. And the word Peter is also the word Petra. It's that word that Jesus says, on this rock, on this Petra, on this Peter, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail. So the 12 men that God called, they are not a powerful man. Ordinary men, but God called them. So the first 8 chapters, what we have learned so far is that they have been following Jesus. They have received from Jesus. They have seen how Jesus worked. Jesus performed miracles. He healed the sick. He cast out demons. He taught them about the kingdom of God. It's blessed are the poor, not the rich. Blessed are the poor in spirit. It's the upside down teaching. So we come to this juncture, right? Now chapter 9 is the first time the gospel turned outwards through the disciples. So far, the disciple has been receiving, has been observing, have been listening. But now Jesus say, you know what, guys? You are ready. You are ready. So on that, we shall now read the 6 verses. Now, normally when I preach, I will always ask you to stand up to read the Word of God. So can you please do that in the presence of God? Now, it's very important for me to explain why we do what we do. That's important, yeah? So we don't do it for a religious purpose. The reason why we always stand up to read the Word of God is because we recognize that the Word of God is the final authority. Amen? It's not my word, but the Word of God. So when we stand up, we're saying we are giving reverence, we are giving honor. So as we read, we sit under the teaching of Jesus Christ. Amen? So let's read together. Luke chapter 9, verse 1. And he called the 12 together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal. And he said to them, take nothing for your journey. No staff, no bag, no bread, no money, and do not have 2 t-shirts. And whatever house you enter, stay there, and from there depart. And wherever they do not receive you, when you leave that town, shake off the dust from your feet as a testimony against them. And they departed and went through the villages, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Please be seated in the presence of God. So today, there are only 6 verses. So the big question I want us to ask ourselves is this. Could Jesus really send someone like me? Many of us, when you talk about Jesus sending, so this is like a first mission trip. Jesus sent out the 12. Everyone say 12. Whenever Jesus asks people to do something, it's always in a team. No Lone Ranger here, no Rambo here. It's always in the team. So Jesus sent out the 12. He commissioned them. But many of us, we think that Jesus would send everyone else but me. Because somehow we feel that there's some inadequacy in us. Or maybe sometimes we judge ourselves very harshly. Or we may look at our own things that we have. We look at our own talent. Sometimes we look at our own bank account. Sometimes we look at our own moral life. We're thinking that I fail in every single area. I have no money in the bank. I'm not very talented. I can't really talk. I'm not exactly walking with God. Can God really send? So that's a question we want to answer today. Now, in our church, we have what I call a discipleship pathway. We believe that as we are connected as a family, the Lord wants to build us up, cultivate us, and then the end result is always commission. Everyone say commission. The end result is always to go. You see, the disciples did not only sit around and listen to the teaching of Jesus Christ. They did not just observe. The end goal is always to be sent and to go. So, first one, the calling. Am I qualified? Now, so I just want to explain to you about the journey of today's sermon. The first part of the sermon is a heavy part. Like, it's heavy. The middle part, the second point, is super light. And the third part is also heavier. So it's a bit like burger, but it's upside down. So rather have like two bread and a meat in between. The way we do it today is that we're going to have meat, tiny slice of bread, and then another meat. All right, so this is kind of our journey today. I've been using a lot of food analogy today. I don't know why. Maybe it's yesterday, our small group. So good. All right, first question. Am I qualified? Let's read verse 1 and verse 2 again. Here we see Jesus called. Okay, observe the verbs here. The 12 together and gave them what? Power and? Okay, we're going to learn about that word, power and authority. Give them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases, and then he sent them. Jesus called, Jesus gave, and Jesus sent. Let's go. Now, many times when the Lord sent us, we will often ask these questions. Can I? Am I able to? Or am I allowed to? Now, the word power and authority, the word power in Greek is dunamis. That's where the word dynamite comes from. Like power, explosion, ability. Power simply means the ability to act. Means you have the talent, the ability. Question I have for you. Who gave you the power? Are you born with it? Who gave it to you? Jesus. Jesus was the one that gave power. And Luke is very specific. It's not just the power, but also the authority. Authority in Greek is exousia. It means that you have the legitimacy. You have the authority, you have also the right to do it. Why both power and authority is important? Now, I want to talk to the parents here. Now, many of us are parents here because we are a family church, yeah? As a parent, God has given you both the power and the authority to look after your children. Power and authority is given for good. I mean, of course, you can use the power and authority for corrupt purpose. But power and authority is given so that you can look after the family. You can teach the family. You can guide the family. Now, if you are a parent, but you look after other people's children, do you have the right to do that? You may have the power, means the ability to parent, but do you have the authority to parent other people's children without consent? The answer is no. Now, why am I telling you this? It's very important. Because power without authority is a usurper. It means that you are acting out of your jurisdiction. You're acting out of the authority God has given to you. You look after your own family. You don't go around telling people how to run their family. Can you imagine if the pastor starts coming to your family and start parenting your children? You'd be like, this is a weird pastor. And you are right to think that way. We could come and encourage, you know, to pray, but never to exert authority over your family. And that's important. A power without authority is a usurper. And then, as we see in the Bible, Absalom, we learned last year in 2 Samuel 15. Absalom wanted to be a king. He has the ability. We know that. You know what he did? So what he did was that he stand at the gateway. of the city. You know, back in those days, to enter into a city, there's a gate, you know, to enter. So he's very smart. So he'll stand at the gate. Everyone that enters, he'll say, oh, welcome to the kingdom. You have any problem, you talk to me. I mean, on the surface, there is nothing wrong. But what is he trying to do? He's trying to steal the hearts of the people. That's what the Bible says. See, there's having power, but acting without authority. Now, authority without power is just a figurehead. It means that, this is a funny one. Sometimes we put people in power, but we do not want them to act. We just want to give them the title. So that's a bit like the political situation in Malaysia. Yeah, in Malaysia, we have, how many sultans do we have? We have a lot of little kings. Yeah. But they don't exactly have power. They are like figureheads. Yeah. When this happened, guess what? You have become a very religious. It's very dead. If anything, you have no power to act. But what did Jesus say? Jesus said he gave both the power and the authority. But Jesus was very specific about what power and authority he has given. In the Word of God, we say that Jesus has given them power and authority over all demons and diseases. So I'm not going to talk about diseases today. I'm going to talk a little bit about demons. Now, as a church, we don't talk about this at all, or not very often. When I was preparing for this sermon, I was thinking, when is the last time I talk about demons? Maybe 3 years ago. I don't know. I can't remember. But since the Bible talks about it, today I want to address it. Yeah? So there are a couple of things I want to talk to you about. So first thing first, what are demons? First, they are real. They are personal, evil spirits. They are a spiritual entity. So they are not just like your bad energy, your negative vibe, or you think that I have a bad feeling about a situation. No. These are real spiritual entity, number one. And number two, we know that they are servants of Satan. A servant always do the bidding of the master. If the master is evil, the servant will do the bidding of an evil master. The plan and the mission of Satan is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Satan has zero compassion on people. Satan especially hates the people of God. No compassion whatsoever. And his ultimate mission is to destroy the people of God. But do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. I'm going to touch on that a bit later. So if you're like, oh man, the pastor is scaring us. No, I'm just teaching you God's truth, but later on I will tell you how to combat this. Yeah. The third thing that we know is that he has been defeated. Everyone say defeated. Satan has been defeated. Now there is some talk, right, about, you know, sometimes they watch a bit of movie, the battle between good and evil. You know, let me tell you something. Biblically, that is wrong. Satan doesn't even come close to our Lord Jesus, all right? He's defeated, absolutely defeated. He can't even stand before the presence of God. And we learn in the Word of God is that right now, he is at the feet of Jesus. Yeah, so take note of that. So what are demons, yeah? So three things. I can say a little bit more, but we shall keep this as a mini teaching today because there's a lot of other stuff I want to talk to you about. Now, the second thing I want to talk to you about is this. You see, because when Jesus sent his disciples out to deliver people from demons, actually what Jesus is saying is this. The work of the enemy is to torment people, is to steal, to kill, and to destroy people. Now, the question then is, how then do we know one is being tormented by the evil spirit? How do I know I'm being tormented by the evil spirit? Now, I want to address this. I want to ask you a question. Can Christians be tormented by evil spirit? Yes or no? Yes or no? Yes, that's correct. In fact, I will go even further. The mission of the devil is to come and torment you. Torment can come in many forms. Yeah? Sometimes it can come in the physical forms, whereby you feel illness in your body. We're going to talk about that a bit later in terms of how we can deal with that. Sometimes it can come with a wave of negative thoughts. Now, how then do we discern whether it's actually demonic attack, or maybe, frankly, you're just having a bad day, you're having a headache? All right? Three things. There are many other things, but today we'll keep it as a mini teaching. First thing first, the end result of a torment is always you have no peace. You are always troubled in your heart. And sometimes you can't explain it. It is just something troubling you. You can't quite put a finger on it. And there's always a pull to self-destruction. If you look at Mark chapter 5, yeah, it's the story of a man that's been tormented by this demon group called the Legion. What do you see? He's living in the tomb area. He's tormenting himself. Now, of course, none of us will stay in the tomb area. But I can tell this, pay attention to the pattern of your life. This is important, yeah? Listen to the Holy Spirit here. Pay attention to your life and recognize the pattern of your life whereby every time you're moving forward spiritually, something will come. Whether it's an incident, whether it's whatever it is, a thought, it will come and disrupt your peace, and that will pull you away from God. That is the work of the enemy. That is the work of the enemy, and we must be able to identify that. Spiritual discernment, that's number one. It will always sabotage you. Sometimes we call it self-sabotaging. So we have to be discerned. Number two, bondage. Compulsion beyond normal control. Now, I want to speak to the people here. There are times, look, the truth is we all go through difficult times. And it is a normal human being experience. So don't go out from today's sermon to start pointing everything as demonic attacks, all right? Demonic activities. Okay, that's not what I'm asking you to do, all right? So I'm talking about beyond normal control. So for people that is filled with a lot of emotion, yeah? Now, the devil, what it does is that he would manipulate your weakness and to make it worse. Okay, what do I mean by that? For example, yeah? If you are going through a grieving period, and there's nothing wrong going through grieving period, yeah? In fact, grieving is very healthy. We should say that together. Grieving is healthy. Everyone say that. If you don't believe me, read the book of Psalms, yeah? One third of the Psalms is actually grieving, yeah? My Lord, you know, how long, O Lord? Why me, O Lord? It is okay to grieve, yeah? It's okay to grieve. But this is where the enemy attacks. The enemy will attack you when you're grieving to say, the reason why you're grieving is because you haven't been a good Christian. You never do your quiet time. The reason why you are grieving is because you never pray hard enough. You see how the enemy works? What is he trying to do? He's trying to put these negative thoughts in your mind to pull you further away from God. The end result of the demonic attack is always you going away from God. And that is the work of the enemy. Do you guys get me? And it is not normal. Because, okay, so I'll talk to people who are very emotional. Yeah, I can be quite emotional too. Yeah, I can be quite emotional too. Now, people who are emotional is that the devil will amplify your emotion. How many of you have said this before? Sometimes I can't control myself. What is the fruit of the Holy Spirit? Self-control. The moment we think that we can't control ourselves, when rage takes over, most of the time, that is a form of demonic attack. And you've got to be aware. The third one is hostility to Christ and worship. Now, You may think that, all right, of course, none of us, we are, the fact that we are all here worshiping Jesus, you know, we are not susceptible to this. It is more subtle than it is. It is more subtle than it is. Sometimes when we are under demonic attack, our prayer, you know, sometimes when we are under attack, we don't know that we are under attack. So our prayer would be like, Lord, forgive me. Lord, help me. Lord, have mercy on me. That is our prayer. But we are under demonic attack. You know what should be your prayer? What should be your prayer? Depart from me. Go in the name of Jesus. Many of us think that casting out demons is the work of the pastor. We better call the pastor. When Jesus sent out the 12, Jesus also sent out all of us. My question for you is this. The power and authority that Jesus gave to his disciples, is it the same power and authority that Jesus has given to you? Is it the same? So I'm going to say this. Whenever we find ourselves unwilling to submit ourselves under the Word of God and the teaching of Jesus Christ, we need to be very careful. Now, that is not to say we are possessed by devil, all right? I'm not saying that. But that is to say that there is an evil spirit influence over your life in a particular area. Because sometimes we find it very easy to obey certain part of the Bible. We are thinking like, man, that is so good. It's so amazing, you know. I want to follow Jesus. But there are certain parts in the Bible where we read about it, we're like, oh, not quite sure about that. Maybe we need to do a bit more research, you know. Maybe that is not exactly what Luke is trying to say. Now, it is okay to have an inquiring mind, all right? So I'm not asking you to be like brain dead, don't use your brain. No. All right? We have a rational mind that God has given us. But I'm saying that if continuously and constantly there are certain portions of the scripture you're just unwilling to submit and it becomes hostile, that is when you got to be careful. There might be an evil influence. All right. So the question is, what then do we do about it? A very important part. First thing first, tell the one next to you, do not fear. Do not fear. For he that is in us is greater than he that is in the world. Do not fear. All right. So I got two tips for you. First, we're talking about the discomfort in the body, and then I'll talk about the mind. You can pray for yourself. Do you know that? The power and authority that has been given to, say, pastors is the same as God has given to you. All right? The pastors are no different when it comes to area in this. So you don't have to think that, wow, you know, Pastor Kenny has more spiritual power. That is a cult, my friend. I don't have any more spiritual power than you do. I may have a different level of authority in the church, but when it comes to over demons and curing diseases, you and I, we are the same. Can I get an amen for that? So next time you see a demon, what do? Who say call the pastor? Oh my goodness. You want me to preach again? I just spent 20 minutes. You cast it out in the name of Jesus. Okay, quick one. Power and authority. All power and authority are delegated. It's given to you by Jesus, to you. They are not yours. It's a delegated power. It's a delegated authority. So when you act on it, it belongs to Jesus. Amen. So parents, father and mother, when you pray for your children, take power and authority. You command every unclean spirit to be gone in the name of Jesus. Any spirit of distraction, of bitterness, of division, you cast it out in the name of Jesus. Of course, there are times we pray like more in the posture of of Lord, have mercy. I mean, that's my favorite prayer. Have mercy on me. My prayer is very simple, by the way. A lot of times I just pray, Lord, have mercy. Have mercy. But there are times the Lord say, can you stop praying about Lord, have mercy? I've given you the power and authority. If I have given you, use it. If God has given you the power and authority, why do you think Jesus gave the disciples the power and authority? For them to use it. So, use it well in your family. Use it in your marriage, in your family. Of course, in the context, we're going to talk about mission, yeah, which we're going to touch on it. So, first thing, do not fear. He that is in us is greater than he that is in the world. Second, submit to God, resist the devil. Okay, this is a very important part. Now, there is a scripture that talks about leaving a foothold for devil. What do we mean? What does it mean? It means that if there's areas in your life you are unwilling to obey God, do you know what is it like? It would be like, so all of you live in a house, it's like opening your front door. So you don't close your front door. And if we are constantly living a lifestyle of disobedience, walking against the will of God, guess what? It's like leaving your front door open. Look, we don't know what's going to come in. Maybe a dog, a cat. Okay, funny story, real story. So in my neighborhood, we have a neighborhood chat. So in a particular court that I live, yeah? So there's one day, one of the guys posted his camera photo, like front door, right? Do you know what's in my neighborhood? Foxes. Three of them, foxes. I'm like, what? Australia? Fox? Maybe I should barbecue them. No. So imagine the front door is open. Foxes are going to come in. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, this is a serious matter. Because if you do not attend to it, guess what's going to happen? It has absolutely nothing. The enemy will come in and to destroy your life. Remember, the enemy have zero compassion, zero mercy over your life. We have to be discerning. We have to be watchful. In the family, also in the church, we have to identify what evil spirit Satan has sent to disrupt the church, to distract the church, to divide the church. We got to be discerning. Can I get an amen for that? So hence, we have to go pray. The third one, we got to armor up. Ephesians 6, you're very familiar with these scriptures. Our battle is never against flesh and blood. Remember, your battle is not against your husband. It's not against your wife. It's not against the people here. It's never against flesh and blood. But it's against power and authority and principalities. There is something dark and evil behind. But we are never to be afraid. Because God asks us not to be afraid, but to put on the armor of God. I have no time to go through it because it's actually meant to be a mini teaching. But it's going to be like a full-blown sermon, man. But it's okay. First part is a meat part. So we all got that? So far, so good? Now, if you have a question, you can come and talk to me later. Some of you here, I want to talk to you. I want to speak to you, yeah, specifically. Because it happens to me too. It happens to everyone. So it has nothing to do with your spirituality. Every one of us here will be attacked and will be tormented. So one of the key attacks in my life is over my mind. Negative thoughts. Constant attack. Constant attack. If I'm not careful, do you know what's going to happen to me? I'm going to be consumed by negative thoughts. I'm going to consume by thinking everything is doomsday, you know. But then when we come before the Lord, okay, so that's important there. How then do we overcome? So I already say you cast it out, right? Boldly, you command it. So it's no longer just a prayer of mercy, it's a prayer of command. Go in the name of Jesus. Go in the name of Jesus. Those of you that are afraid of darkness, you walk, you say, I command in the name of Jesus. The Prince of Peace is with me. And then you walk boldly. For those of you that are in big negotiations with a business, sometimes you're afraid. So this has nothing to do with the morning attack. You just pray, Prince of Peace, come upon me. When I walk in, I do not walk in on my own. I walk in with the Creator of heaven and earth. Whew. Talking about classroom management. If you're a teacher, you can do that all the time too. You are not just teaching alone. You have the most powerful, the most wonderful. You pray over your mind. There is a reason why Jesus said, Paul said in Romans, it's a renewal of your mind. Your mind is the playground for the devils. So it's very important what you watch, what you receive in your mind. Instead, be filled with the Word of God. Amen. Wow, man, I can keep going, Jess. I could keep going. So good. All right, so let's go. Now, what then are we called to do? Two things, Jesus said. You are to proclaim and to heal. Proclaim is the word. Heal is the deeds. Mending the wound. A lot of times, okay, oh, this is a fun one. Sometimes we only proclaim. So imagine you tell your friends, God loves you, God loves you, He died for you. But when your friend is in trouble, when he calls you, you're like, I'm too busy. Dude, in his mind, he'll be thinking, you are a hypocrite, man. We not only we talk, we have to do. You know what NATO stands for? N-A-T-O? No action, talk only. I hope for us as a church, we are never like that. The word of God, coupled with the deeds of Christ, is very powerful. Can you get an amen for that? Amen. Amen. And Christ gave it to you so that He can give it through you. Now, how do you know you are sent? All right, so this is the important part. Every one of you is sent. All right, can you turn to the one next to you and say, you are sent? All right, Josh, you are sent. Jean, everyone is sent. If you proclaim that Jesus Christ is your Lord, you are sent. S-E-N-T. Not in the process of sending, but you are already sent. Some of you are thinking, sent to do what? I just say to proclaim and to heal. Word and deed. How do I know if I'm ready? So I'm going to talk about this right now. The second part of the sermon. Second part of the sermon, remember, tiny slice of bread, very fast. What have I got to give? It's very simple. Do you know what is God's answer for you? Two answers. Nothing. Nada. You have nothing to give. You'll be thinking, wow, that is very encouraging, Pastor Kenny. First, God sent me. Now you say, I got nothing to give. But here, the good news of Jesus Christ is very beautiful. It's actually both nothing and everything. In the first part, what do we say? What did Jesus give them? Power and authority. What Jesus is saying is this, I've given myself to you. All you need can be found in Christ. When God gives you a vision, God will always supply you the provision. Provision do not come before vision. Many times when we're going to do something for God, so as human beings, so I'm maybe OCD in this area, yeah? I think a lot. I overthink too much. So sometimes when God asks us to do something, I'll be thinking, can we do it? You know, let's start counting the cost. Let's start planning A, B, C, D, E, F, G. What God is saying, you know what you need to do? Just rely and depend on me 100%. That's why Jesus told his disciples, can you imagine? This is the instruction of Jesus. Some of you will think that Jesus is a very irresponsible master. How could Jesus send his disciples out with nothing? Have you thought about that? How could Jesus send his disciples out with nothing? But because Jesus knew that if we were to start depending on our own resources, on our own talent, on our own gifts, in our own ability, competency, do you know what's going to happen? Who's going to get the glory after that? You'll be thinking, oh, look at me. It's because I can do this, that's why things are done. No. If all glory were to give to Jesus, all power, all authority, all resources must come from Jesus. We just raised around quite a large amount of money from missions. All glory to Jesus. All glory to Jesus. Amen. So that's the second point. Take nothing. Because we are to be totally dependent on God. The third one. Verse 5 and 6. Yeah, this is what it says. So this is the instruction when Jesus sent us out. He said, whatever house you enter, stay there, and from there depart. And wherever they do not receive you, when you leave that town, shake off the dust from your feet as a testimony against them. Two things. If people were to receive you, stay. Everyone say stay. Now, in our work of God, in our mission of God, you will recognize that there are certain people that are open to the good news of Jesus. You can tell it, can't you? Like in your family members, in your friendship group. So when the Lord has sent you and then you sense an open door, stay there. That is the man and the woman of peace. We have found someone like that in the midweek service, haven't we? So what do? We stay there. We want to share the good news with them. We love them. We care for them. Don't stop shopping around. Just stay there. Stay there. Now, if they were to reject you, what do? Self-pity. Oh, poor me. Lord, why me? Christians, grow a spine, man. It's okay if people were to reject you. Do you know why? Jesus was rejected. Jesus, the perfect human being, is also being rejected. If you are being rejected by doing the will of God, it's actually a good news. It means that you are doing the will of God. If you are doing the will of God and no one rejects you, everyone loves you, everyone welcomes you, maybe we should then come and say, Lord, what have gone wrong? Are we still saying things that people like to hear, or are we really preaching from the Word of God? Because if Jesus himself is rejected, expect to be rejected too. So here, then Jesus prepared us. Jesus said, when that happens, he says, shake off the dust. When I was preparing this sermon, was it the song? Was it the Taylor Swift song? Shake it off? Was it Swifty? I can't help it. I keep thinking, shake it off, shake it off. So I told myself, Holy Spirit, please shake off that song, you know? Sorry, Josh. I mean, yeah. All right, I want to talk to you about what does shake off the dust mean. Because the Bible says shake off the dust. This term is actually a very specific cultural term. Now, in the days of Jesus Christ, the Jews would think that if this land belonged to the pagans or to the Gentiles, what they would do is that it's considered unclean. So when they leave town, they were physically at the gate, at the border, they were shake off, right? Unclean, you know, unclean. I'm a people of God. But what is crazy about this, because when we read, we don't feel anything. But for the Jewish audience, they will be shocked. Because the Jewish audience would say that, Jesus, are you asking us to shake off the dust of our Jewish brothers and sisters' villages? That is exactly what Jesus is saying. It has nothing to do with Jews or Gentiles anymore. Jesus is saying that if people were to reject the good news of Jesus Christ, you are to shake off the dust. Now, shake off the dust doesn't mean that you're being revengeful and being spiteful, all right? So it's not saying that, you know, too bad for you. Move. No, that is not what Jesus meant. It simply means this. Yeah, it means this. It means that we no longer take responsibility. Your responsibility is to share the good news. Full stop. And do the good deeds. Full stop. Whether people receive you, accept you, leave it. The truth is, not everyone is going to love you. Some people, whatever you do, they will just hate you. And you got to tell yourself, it is fine. It is well with my soul. Amen? Follow Jesus. Follow Jesus. Because the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. Jesus himself is being rejected. From rejection to resurrection. I'm coming to a close now. The worship team, if you can come. Now, Jesus sent you, it's not because you'll be received. In fact, there are times, I want to challenge some of us here today. we're going to put a spine in your backbone today. There are times when people, when Jesus sent you, Jesus know that you'll be rejected. Think of Prophet Jeremiah. Do you know when God called Prophet Jeremiah, the weeping prophet? This is what God told Jeremiah. I will send you to a people that will not listen to you. That is a tough gig. Can you imagine if that's what God tells me? So Kenny, I'm going to send you to a church, but they will never listen to you. I'm like, why didn't you send me? Send someone else. There are times God will give you a difficult mission. Your responsibility is to stay faithful to the cause. And God will do the rest. Amen. He will give the power and the authority. The Lord is here today. King Jesus is here today. He wants to liberate us and free us from the torments of the evil spirit. We're going to believe in that. Amen. So right now, if I can get you to close your eyes, I believe there's some important spiritual transaction that's about to take place here. Thank you, Lord. The Word of God will never return in void. When the Word of God is proclaimed, it always comes with the power of God. Amen. Now, some of you here, you are going through a very, very difficult times, perhaps. You're not sure whether it's because it's a torment of the evil ones, but you felt that you just get stuck in the same place again and again and again and again. Today, I believe the Holy Spirit wants to free you. So all eyes are closed here. We respect our brothers and sisters in Christ. If today you want to be free from the attack of the mind, the inability to sleep or to rest or have peace, if that is you today, I want to encourage you and challenge you to put up your hand as a sign of faith. Say, Lord, I believe for your deliverance today, because only you and you alone can do. Is there anyone today? You say, Lord, free me. Anyone? Anyone? The Lord Jesus, I need you. Free my mind. Set me free. Set my family free. Set my marriage free. I see that. Thank you. Anyone else? Amen. Amen. Thank you. There is no shame. Amen. There is no shame. No condemnation in Christ Jesus. Anyone else? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Let us now all stand. Let us now all stand. We come to a time of closing here. We're going to do the communion by standing. And this is what we're going to do. Take the bread. Remember that this is the broken body of Christ. The body of Christ is broken for us. We are made whole in Christ. So if you do not have a communion, you can put out your hands. We have our ashes. Everyone has one? All right, one for my dear wife, Sinkyu here. Chloe in the middle. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. The danger of us doing communion every week is that it becomes religious. This is a very powerful, spiritually significant moment. Jesus gathered his disciples, he then broke the bread. Let's break the bread together. He said, do this in remembrance of me. So when Jesus says, do this in remembrance of me, what is it that the disciples remember Jesus about? Well, I don't know. I can't read their mind. But right now, at this very moment, I want you to remember the power and the authority of Jesus that has been given to you over all demons and over all diseases. So as we partake this, as we remember Christ, I want you to utter in your own breath your situation and you command it to go in the name of Jesus. Take authority. Remember, God has given you the authority. So let's do that for the next 10, 20, 30 seconds. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord God. But I take power and authority over the unclean spirit, over bitterness, over unforgiveness, the division spirit, in the name of Jesus, be gone right now. Spirit of infirmities, spirit of gossip, spirit of division, be gone in the name of Jesus. Every tormenting spirit, every evil spirit, we declare boldly that no weapon formed against the people of God shall prosper. Let's partake this together. Then Jesus took the cup. He told his disciples, this is the new covenant. The blood of Christ cleanses our sin, cleanses all unrighteousness. It does not matter how you feel today, how unclean, how condemned you feel today. In Jesus Christ, there is no condemnation. Amen. You stand righteous and holy before God, not because of what you have done, because of what Christ has done on the cross. So you stand tall. You stand humble. You stand righteous before God because of what Christ has done. Let's drink together. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to sing a closing song. So as we do that, let us lift our hearts and our spirit. Let's worship our King Jesus, for He is truly, truly worthy.
And beautiful Lord, the wonderful Savior, I know for sure, in all of my days are held in Your hand, crafted into Your purpose. Yeah. So take me and you pull me and you spirit fill me and I give my life to the corner's head and call me you guide me and lead me walk beside me and I give my life to the poorest head.
Lord Jesus, we thank you today for your precious word of God. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you've given power and authority over every single individual here who calls upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Father, we pray in the name of Jesus that today is a day of freedom and liberation for the people of God. We cast out all tormenting and evil spirits, O God. In the name of Jesus, be gone. Father, we pray for the protection over our minds, O Lord God. We say, Father, that our mind is for Christ, is for the word of Christ. It is no devil's playground. So, Father, we speak in the name of Jesus that our mind will be filled with godly thoughts, with noble thoughts, with holy thoughts, O Lord God. So renew our mind, O God. Father, we also want to speak your healing over your people, Lord God, both physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually. We proclaim your healing, O God, because you are Jehovah Rapha, the Lord God who heals, O Lord. So we thank you, we receive your healing in the name of Jesus, O God. So right now, let us receive the benediction from the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance and give you peace. So may the grace of our Lord Jesus, the love of the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. So now go and be a God-loving, Christ-centered, Spirit-filled, word-grounded, disciple-making disciple. In Jesus' most precious and holy name, and the people of God say, amen and amen. Let's give glory to our Lord Jesus Christ.